Luke chapter 17. And before we get started, I want to thank God this evening for my salvation, for this opportunity that has been extended to me, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, the ministers on staff here, to be able to minister God's word this evening. And also thank everybody that serves in our church, amen, in whatever capacity, amen, that you serve to provide this atmosphere, amen, where God can move in the hearts of people, whether you're in the nursery, children's church, ushering, parking lot, security, amen, whatever your role is, worship team, amen. Thank you, amen, for your service in our church so that we can enjoy this time with the Lord. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start reading in verse 11. This is the word of the Lord. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was as they went that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Where were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" The King James Version says, "Your faith has made you whole." Go ahead and be seated this evening. How many know that we serve a miracle-working God? You know, when Pastor Danny stood up here at the beginning of the service and he was talking about how God is a miracle-working God, and when we start to think of what God has done in our lives, it's nothing short of a miracle what God has been able to do in the lives of each individual here and in the ministry of Victory Outreach. Can you say amen? You see, we serve a miracle-working God, a God that is able to do the impossible, a God that is able to do things that no ordinary human being could ever accomplish on their own. We have seen God in our church deliver drug addicts, men and women who live their lives chasing a needle or chasing a crack pipe or chasing a meth. We've seen God able to change and transform their lives where they are no longer the same people that they used to be, but now they are changed by the power that's in the name of Jesus. We've seen gang members and prostitutes and alcoholics all transformed by the power that's in the name of Jesus. And then we see little miracles too. Like some ladies that come to church with blonde hair one day and red hair the next. And I've even on some occasions seen some mustaches that have miraculously turned colors. I'm just saying. But we serve a miracle working God. Can you say amen? You see, in the portion of scripture that we have before us this evening is describing a miracle that Jesus Christ performs not on one individual, but on 10 individuals. But there is a difference between 9 of them and 1 of them. And I believe that as we get into the story, we're going to find out that the biggest difference was one of those individuals that got healed was grateful for the miracle that had taken place in his life. You see, I looked into Webster's dictionary, and who am I to question them, right? Because they took years and years and years and a lot of research to make up Webster's dictionary, and all I got is a GED. But they say that grateful is an adjective. But I want to take it a step further, and not that I want to add to the Webster's dictionary, but I want you to know that gratefulness is also a verb because it requires action on the person that is grateful. You see, because without action, then gratefulness is just an emotion. Without action, gratefulness is just a good feeling inside because of something, the good that has happened into your life. But you see, when we look at gratefulness, as we're going to see in this passage of Scripture, we see that it's more than an emotion. It's actually an action that drives an individual to come back and throw himself at the feet of Jesus and thank him for the miracle that is taking place in his life. Before we get that far, though, the Bible says that Jesus is walking through a town. And in that town, there are 10 individuals that have leprosy. And let's stop there for a moment because I want to define leprosy. For many, many years, people thought that leprosy was a skin disease that caused your skin to rot and eventually fall off. But as more research was done, they discovered that leprosy is actually, and I hope I say this right because I was practicing all afternoon, it is a neurological condition. And my GD is showing right now. It's a neurological condition in your brain that prevents you from feeling any kind of pain. There is a, I don't remember the author's name, but he wrote a book called Where Is God When It Hurts? And it talks about his research in a leper colony in India. And it talks about the individuals that are in this leper colony, that it's not that they have a disease that is affecting their skin. They actually have this condition in their brain that it doesn't allow them to feel pain. So what happened, he gives an example of a guitar player that played his guitar until his fingers were bleeding, and he had no idea that his fingers were bleeding because he couldn't feel any pain. And he gives an example of a young boy that put the wrong key in a lock, and he tried to turn it so hard that the key dug into his fingers and it cut it, and he was bleeding, but he was unaware because he couldn't feel any pain. So we look at the lepers that were there, 10 of them, in this city or this town that Jesus is walking past, and the condition that they have is that they don't have the ability to feel any pain. And when they're asking Jesus, when they're asking Jesus to have mercy on them, to heal their bodies, they're asking Jesus, let me feel pain again. I've gone my life, or I've gone this period of time without the ability to feel any pain. Jesus, can you please heal me so that I can feel pain again? Because their pain had been subsided. They weren't able to feel it. And I can't help but think of how we used to live our lives before we came to Jesus. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but we were good at shutting down our feelings. We were good at shutting down our emotions. And it was kind of like we were trained as young children not to show any kind of emotion. I still look at some people at Walmart or at any other department store or grocery store, and you have a 2 or 3 or 4 year old little child that's crying, and the mom is telling him, don't cry, everybody's looking at you. Everybody's looking at you crying. Or you have the machismo father that tells his son, don't show any emotion because it's a sign of weakness. Don't show anybody that you're crying because they'll think that you're weak. You gotta be able to internalize all your feelings and emotions and not show them to anybody. So we grow up in that kind of environment, and we go to the streets, or we go to jail, we go to prison, and we suppress all those feelings that are deep down inside of us to the point where we want to explode because all we're doing is putting on a front, and we're not really the person that we're supposed to be. We're living a lie. We're living behind a false pretense because all our hurt and all our emotion and everything that we got going inside of us, we refuse to let it out. And one of the biggest things that Jesus does when he comes into our lives is he gives us the opportunity to unmask ourselves, to take away that front, to go ahead and hurt, to go ahead and feel those emotions and bring them before the Lord and allow God to make us the man or the woman that we were supposed to be. You see, the Bible says that when Jesus is walking through this town, that these 10 lepers were afar off. And there's reasons for that. Because back in those days, the lepers were ostracized from their community. Because of the disease that they had, they weren't allowed to interact with their own family. They weren't able to interact in any social gathering or in any temple service. They weren't allowed to mix it up with normal people. And the Bible says and gives us examples in the Old Testament where they actually had to go before the priest and they were declared ceremonially unclean and ostracized from the community. And any time that they walked down the street, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean, so that people would get out of their way. That's the life that these men lived, 10 of them, ostracized, feeling like they couldn't interact with people and they couldn't belong to their own community. They couldn't worship God in a church service and there in the temple because there was something wrong with them and society pushed them away. Now, that sounds pretty familiar to a lot of us. Because of the disease that we had, we weren't able to interact with the community. Because of the addictions that we had and the hang-ups that we had and our criminal minds and the criminal activity that we were involved in and alcoholism and gang violence, we were ostracized from our communities and many times from our own families because even they didn't want anything to do with us. They pushed us away and they told us, don't come around here because we know you're going to try to steal something. Don't come to the party because we know you're going to start a fight. Don't come around us because you're embarrassing us in our family because of the way that you're choosing to live your life. I don't know about you, but that was my life. I had a disease of drug addiction, heroin addiction, and gang violence that caused me to separate myself from my family because they didn't want anything to do with my life anymore. So these 10 guys are together. And they hear that Jesus is coming, but they can't get close to Jesus because they're unclean. They can't get close to Jesus because they're not allowed to intermingle with normal people. They can't get close to Jesus because they would be, I don't know what the penalty would be if they were to try to get close to a normal person, but they weren't allowed to get close to them. So when they were there and they heard that Jesus, a miracle worker, was there, they could see Jesus, but they couldn't get close enough to be seen by Jesus. So they resorted to yelling. And they screamed at the top of their lungs. And they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. They did whatever it took to get Jesus' attention. It was an unconventional method that they were using, but it was the only thing that they had available to get the attention of the only person that could heal them. And you know, our ministry of Victory Outreach is an unconventional ministry. We go out of our way to get the people that are afar off. Because there are a lot of people that are not allowed to enter into certain church organizations or certain denominations because of the way that we look, because of the way that we talk, or because of the way that we used to live our lives. There are a lot of people that are out there that are ripping and running. There are a lot of people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, involved in gang violence, maybe in jail or maybe in prison, that don't feel comfortable going to an ordinary church. So God uses unconventional methods to reach the people that are out there that are still hurting. I thank God for the men and women that go into jails and prison to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for them, some people would never hear the gospel. We use unconventional methods to reach people by doing park rallies, by going out into the streets and doing dramas. Instead of inviting them to come here, we take church to the street because we know that they might not feel comfortable coming to a regular church. But once they see what our ministry is all about, once they hear the testimonies of the men and women that have been transformed by the power that's in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden their minds open up, their hearts open up, and they start to think that maybe there is hope for me. Maybe I can change. Maybe I can go to that church because the people in that church look just like me. We wouldn't be accepted before we came to Jesus in a lot of other churches. And now look at what we're doing. We're partnering up with APD for Warm and Fuzzy to take it to the streets and reach the hurting people that are afar off that normally wouldn't come around Christian people. The Bible says that these 10 men started yelling and screaming and getting Jesus' attention. And the Bible says that they got Jesus' attention. And he told 10 of them, he goes, go show yourselves to the priest. And on the way there, they were healed. And as soon as they got to the temple where they had to perform the ceremony, or the priest had to come to declare them ceremonial clean, that they could be reunited with their families, they could be reinstated into their community, they could be restored to the life that they once lived. But a lot of them, the 9 of those men, they stayed there. That's all they wanted. They were looking to see what Jesus could do for them. And only one wanted to know what he could do for the one that had set him free. You see, 9 of them went. And they got restored back to the community. They got rehabilitated. They got healed of their sickness. They got reinstated and restored with their family. But they never developed a relationship with Jesus Christ. They never went back to thank the one that had healed them. And you know, it would be a shame if we only got half of the experience that Jesus has for us. You see, because sometimes we come to the Lord and we just want to get reinstated back into the community. Sometimes we come into the home and we come into the church and we just want to get restored back to our family. Sometimes we come to the church, we come to the home, and we just want to get rehabilitated and get the PO off of our back, or quit dealing with a judicial system. But God has so much more for us. Why settle for just a little bit of what God has for us when God has so much more in store for us? If only we will come back and say, Jesus, my life is not my own. I give my life to you. Have your way in my life. You see, these 9 guys, it would have been a success story. They might have even showcased them on the news or some kind of talk show where they got them like, hey, weren't you the guys that were lepers? Weren't you the guys that were yelling at Jesus? How has your life changed? And all of them would say like, well, you know what? Jesus healed us. We went back to the temple and the priest declared us clean again. And now we're restored back with our family. I'm back to work. We're going to the temple every once in a while and life is good. I got what I wanted. That's all I wanted from Jesus, was to get back to work. All I wanted from Jesus was to get back with my family. All I wanted from Jesus was to get rehabilitated, get the PO off of my back. And you know what? I'm a success story. It's only a partial success story, because God has so much more for us. You see, and the Bible says that one of the guys came back. What was the difference? I asked myself the question, what was the difference between those 9 and the 1? Originally, they all wanted the same thing. They wanted to get rid of the leprosy. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to feel pain again. They wanted to hug their kids. They wanted to kiss their wife. They wanted to go to temple. They wanted to go to the grocery store. They wanted to do all the things that normal people do. They all wanted the same thing. But one was different. When he finally got everything that he had hoped for from Jesus, he realized that something was missing. When the priest said, you're clean now, you can go back home. You're clean now, you can go back to work. You're clean now, you can come to church. You're clean now, you can re-enter society again. And he thought about it. And he thought about it hard and he said, wait a minute. There's something missing still. There's got to be more to life than just this. All these years that I was separated from that, and now I have it in the palm of my hand, but I realize that it's not enough, that there's got to be more to this. I don't want to be just a normal person. I don't want to be a normal 9-to-5 person. I don't want to be a person that just goes to the grocery store and lives a normal life. There's got to be something more for me. And then he starts thinking, well, Jesus did something really, really miraculous in my life. He did something that nobody else could ever do. He healed me of an affliction that I'm sure was going to kill me. He restored my health. He restored my life. He restored my relationships. He restored me into the community. I got to do something about this. I got to do something about this. I cannot let this go without going back and giving thanks to the one that has changed my life. You see, the other people, they might have been grateful, emotionally grateful. The other nine might have been grateful because it felt good, like, man, something good has happened to me. But one of them, one of the 10 lepers, was grateful, and it motivated him to take action. You see, it's not enough to be emotionally grateful. It's a good feeling. Yes, it is. We can be grateful. We can come to church and we can be grateful to God and say, God, thank you for everything that you've given me, and thank you for my job, and thank you for this, and thank you for that. And it doesn't go past an emotion. What God is looking for is like that 10th leper, a man or a woman that goes beyond just being grateful for what has been done in their life, but takes action with that gratefulness and goes back to Jesus and say, Jesus, you healed me, you delivered me, you set me free. I'm going to praise and glorify God because of the miracle that has taken place in my life. God, my life is not my own. I give my life to you. That's what the 10th leper did. And if we look at our society, the way that things are happening right now in the world, there are a lot of drug programs and a lot of counseling services that can get you off of drugs. They can put you on methadone. They can put you on Suboxone. They can do all these things to get you off of heroin, off of alcohol, off of all those things. But the Bible says that you can be healed without being whole. You see, because the Bible says that these men, when they went to the priest, they were healed along the way. But when the one came back and he talked to Jesus and he glorified God, Jesus told that man, your faith has made you whole. There's a difference between being healed and being whole. Because you can be healed of your drug addiction and still have problems in your heart. You can be healed of your alcoholism and still deal with anger, still deal with a lot of things and rejection and pride in your life, because God hasn't, you haven't allowed God to make you whole. He set you free. He delivered you from drugs. He delivered you from alcohol, but you haven't let him into that place in your heart where all that hurt and the pain that he wants to take away and make you whole. I don't know about you, but to me, whole sounds a lot better than being healed. Which leads us to this. The miracle that Jesus wants to do in our lives is a progressive work, and it's a complete work. And sometimes what we do is we tell God when we want to stop him working in our lives. We want to tell God just how much to take. We want to dictate to God and tell him, okay, God, I will give up this, but I'm not giving up that. God, I will give this much, but I'm not going to give my whole tithe. I will give to my church, but I'm not going to give to United We Can. And all God has to do in situations like that for me is to remind me of where he's brought me from. Let me say that again. All God has to do is remind me of where he has brought me from. You know, there was a while back when I started to do pulpit work, And on a couple of occasions, not so much lately, but they would tell me, you know what, Mark, you don't preach the offering. You get up there and you do a whole sermon to pick up the offering. Don't be preaching the offering. So I try to stop, but I can't. I try to stop preaching the offering, but when I start thinking about what God has done for me, when I start thinking about how I walked into the men's home 5 years ago with nothing in my pocket and only the clothes on my back and what God has done, I can't help but get excited. I can't help but preach about his promises. I can't help but tell people that God is able to provide your needs if only you are faithful in your giving. I can't help it. It It's happened to me. It happened in my life. I was there when it happened. It wasn't so long ago that I have forgotten what it feels like to have nothing. And I know now I've been able to see God's faithfulness in my life. And it's the gratitude and the gratefulness that should push us into action. That should push us back to a relationship with the Lord. That should push us to get deeper and closer with the Lord and say, Jesus, how much more do you want of me? Because Jesus isn't going to burn us. Jesus isn't going to treat us bad. Jesus isn't just going to take without giving back. Jesus has nothing but good things in store for us. But we got to come back with a grateful heart and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you that I'm not a dope fiend no more. Thank you that I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Thank you that I'm not gangbanging anymore. Thank you that I'm not waking up in a jail or a prison cell this morning. God, thank you for the life that you've given me. Thank you for the ministry of Victory Outreach, where I can come and lift my hands with other dope fiends, other gang members, other people that were lost, and worship God in spirit and in truth. Thank God for Victory Outreach Albuquerque, that the doors are open for people like us. Thank God for the Victory Homes, where men and women can come in that are hurting off the streets and find Jesus and be able to have a relationship with Jesus in their lives. Thank God for our church. Thank God for our ministry. Thank God for our pastors that have been faithful year after year after year in the city of Albuquerque. So when it came time for me to come back to Jesus, they were here. They were here to welcome me back. I thank God for everything He's done in my life. It's that gratitude. It's that gratitude for the Victory Home that has me there on Wednesday mornings preaching my heart out, because I believe in the home. I believe in what God does in the home. I believe that God raises up men and women there in the home to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the four corners of the world. Thank God for Victory Outreach. Thank God for our church in Albuquerque. Thank God for the home. The Bible says that He came back and He put Himself on the feet of Jesus and He started to glorify God. His gratefulness led to action. Let's not let our gratefulness just be an emotion. Let's get behind what God is doing in our church and in our ministry. Let's get involved. Let's show our gratefulness by taking action and saying, God, you can count on me. Because I'm grateful for what you've done in my life. I want you to stand all over this place this evening. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands. And just worship the Lord in this place right now. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voices, lift your hearts to the Lord. Señor. Aleluya. Open this altar. If you're in this place and you say, Lord, I want to have a grateful heart. I want to be grateful for every good thing that you've done in my life. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar and let's just worship the Lord in this place. Amen. Let's lift our grateful hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, let this gratefulness move me to action all over this place. If you're grateful this evening for what God has done in your life, where he's brought you from, what he's done for you, I invite you to come to this altar and let God minister to your life. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're like that leper man saying, there's something missing in my life, I want you to know that you're here tonight because Jesus has set this appointment for you. I'm going to invite you to come from all over this place. If you need Jesus in your life, come to this altar and meet him here. Voices to the Lord this evening.
Aquí está.
Aquí estás.
All right.